It's All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Today we are welcoming back legendary musician Sergio Mendez, returning for a series of dates at the Blue Note and taking some time to also return to the show. Hey, Sergio, appreciate you doing this.
Hi, how are you? Nice talking to you.
You too. So great to have you back on the show.
Wonderful.
And thanks for doing this. I really appreciate your time, my friend.
My pleasure, always.
An exciting time to have you back in town too, Sergio, with this In the Key of Joy. And this is a new record plus a documentary. You're a busy boy right now.
That's right, I am.
Kind of like your benchmark for who you are. I was reading a quote about this new record. You said, quote, "I love to work with different people from different cultures, different countries, different generations, and different styles." And with that in mind, this record, it includes a wide array of folks from so many different places.
It's exactly what you just described. I mean, it's my curiosity, and it's a great pleasure for me to go to the studio and collaborate with not only young artists, but maybe some older artists. Like, I have a young rapper from L.A., but I also have Common as my guest, and he's a classic rapper. And so it was just a great encounter of musicians and singers and fresh songs, you know. We didn't do any covers or anything like that. I wrote a lot of the songs on the album. Yeah, we had a great time.
So you have Common, you've got Buddy, you've got your lovely and talented wife as well. Who else is on you with this record? Name some of the other folks.
Well, Joe Pizzullo, that sang Never Gonna Let You Go With Me years ago, was a huge hit. And then his daughter, Sugar Jones, she's my goddaughter. We baptize her. So I have father and daughter to sing another song. I have the great Brazilian artist, Hermeto Pascoal, Carlinhos Brown, and the great Brazilian percussionist from Rio. I did most of the percussion in Brazil and all the vocals here in L.A.
And when it comes to the recording of that, let's start with the hip-hop cats.
Starts with the song. Starts with the melody. I sit down on the piano and write a song and give it to somebody else to write a lyric, and because I don't write lyrics. So, I mean, for me, melody is the most important thing.
Got it.
After the song is ready, and then I say, well, who would be nice to be a guest on this song? It starts with the song and ends with the song. Then the arrangement, go to the studio, record melody, do the arranging. And then, okay, maybe that song, we can have a singer here, we can have a rapper, we can have a, you know, whatever, an instrumental.
And they'll come with their own lyrics and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It's freestyle. Same thing happened with Buddy and Common. And they improvise when they hear the song, and the studio is just an amazing, amazing process.
And as far as the lyrics with the other ones that aren't the hip-hop artists?
Then I choose the lyrics. Ah. For instance, the song that I don't have the album in front of me, that Joe Pizzullo sings.
Right.
I had Paul Williams, which is a great classic lyricist.
Sure.
That wrote Love Came Between Us. He wrote the lyrics. On the other songs, there's a girl that I met here in L.A., Nisha, she's from India. She speaks fluent English. She's a great lyricist. She wrote a lot of the lyrics. I have a singer, a great singer named Shaleya. So, you know, because I don't write lyrics, I send them the melody, and then we talked about what it fits, what is not fit.
That's huge. How lucky for Nisha, the girl who you said was from India. How did she come into your life that now she plays this great role of getting to write your lyrics?
You know, it's word of mouth. Like Shaleya came through my engineer.
Got it.
And you might talk to somebody, oh, there's this great lyricist.
I get it.
That kind of thing. You know, it's a lot of word of mouth. And then you meet the person. Listen, sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work.
So what you're saying is a lot of the time you'll attempt a collaboration or something. You'll go, this isn't the right thing or
that's
otherwise.
Correct. Yeah, it happens. Not a lot.
Right.
But it happens. Yeah, it happens.
Well, that's a lot of insight for your fans into how some of this stuff gets put together. I dig it. And the same with this documentary. Now, that's even more of a, in terms of something that covers, this is a career-spanning documentary. I was looking online. I saw you guys just did a, was it Santa Barbara?
Yes. They opened out the Santa Barbara Film Festival. It was wonderful. We had the documentary, which was done by John Sheinfeld. He did Coltrane, he did Harry Nilsson, and we spent 2 years together. We went to Brazil, we visited my whole journey. the clubs that I play in Copacabana. And then he interviewed a lot of people in Brazil and in the United States.
When you were on last time, this thing was just getting underway, I guess, because you were telling me a little about it then. Uh-huh. So when you talk about like flying to Brazil with him, explain a little. So you guys, what do you plan out? You bring a whole crew. How long do you go? How does something like that come together?
He brought the whole crew. We use people in Brazil for lights and things like that. He brought a crew of three or four people and himself. So we went to the city that I was born, across the bay from Rio, and the building where I used to live, things like that. Then took the ferry to Rio, to the clubs that I used to play in Copacabana during the Bossa Nova days.
And who do you bring with you?
My wife came down with me. I don't bring anybody.
No big entourage. So just
No. You know, he's filming, and the sound, a lot of stuff. He rented in Brazil, but most of the stuff, was there, and he brought some people in.
What a cool thing.
Yeah, what a cool thing, yes.
When I think about the documentary and some of the early days, like, for example, recording with Cannonball Adderley, Herbie Mann, getting to play at Carnegie Hall, does that come up in this thing?
Yes, it does, and there are pictures of that, and that, absolutely. You have to come and see it.
and that, the Carnegie Hall, did that end up being a record?
The show at Carnegie Hall ended up being a record. It was all the guests that was there. I don't have that record, but I remember they released the record at the time. It was with other people like Antonio Carlos Jobim, Stan Getz, Dizzy Gillespie, a lot of other people. I think they released the record at the time.
What were some of the early TV appearances from that era?
Oh, everything. I mean, Danny Kaye special, Fred Astaire, Johnny Carson several times, Merv Griffin.
Fred Astaire.
Yeah, yeah. Dancing to the Look of Love. And there's a lot of pictures that we have, luckily. Because in those days, was no...
No video, right?
No smartphone either.
Right, exactly.
Record every second of everything.
So did you save a lot of stuff yourself, though, pictures and stuff, so you were able to help?
Yes.
A reward for holding on to the stuff all these years that you can
absolutely
work with the director and be able to incorporate that. This record that you have, all these collaborations on it, and you're kind of known as a collaborator through your life. Like, tell the story of how Stevie Wonder and you came together for The Real Thing. He wrote that, right?
Yeah, he did. He came because I met him here in L.A. because his guitarist was Michael Cimbello. And Michael Cimbello, girl's friend, was a singer in my band, so we met like that. And then we became very good friends with Stevie, and he told me one time he wanted to sing something in Portuguese. So I wrote, for the first time, some lyrics for him in Portuguese. It's called, I'm trying to remember the song. Anyway, it's on the... Now you got me working my mind.
My brother.
Anyway... So he sang and he thanked me so much, gave me a platinum album.
Wow.
And he said, I got a song for you. So he wrote The Real Thing. Yeah, it's amazing, genius.
Do you tell any of that story in the documentary?
Yes.
Did Stevie record a new
interview? No, unfortunately, he was traveling. You couldn't get him. We got Quincy Jones. We got many, many people in there.
What about a partnership? I guess it starts as business, but ends up being friends. Your critical introduction to Herb Alpert, Jerry Moss.
Absolutely. They're both on the documentary, of course. And Lonnie, which was the voice of Brazil 66. And we are dear friends, and they're coming. We're going to show the film here in L.A. And, yeah, I'm forever grateful to them because they opened the first big door for me, when it was Brazil 66. And it was a great encounter with them.
And wasn't it through meeting you that Herb met Lonnie, who would go on to be his wife?
That's right. Yeah, that's correct.
Well, I really appreciate all the stories today. Really looking forward to you arriving in town for these shows at the Blue Note.
Talk to you in Honolulu, though.
Oh, you want to do a little thing when you get to town?
We can do that at the club before the show.
I would like that.
That would be nice.
Very much.
My pleasure. Let's do that.
I will work it out with the club and your people.
Wonderful.
I'll see you then, brother.
Thank you so much. Oh,
minha frente que eu quero passar, pois o samba está animado.